Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, December 16th. Coming up today, it's back. One of Kent's most controversial contraflows. Government funding to provide more SEN places and a youth club one step closer to securing its future. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Another Kent hospital has introduced mandatory face masks because of a rise in flu cases. Staff, patients and visitors will be asked to wear them at Medway Maritime from today. Darren Valley Hospital in Dartford brought in similar measures last week to stop the virus spreading. Now, this comes as some people have been struggling to book a private flu jab in Kent. We're being told to shop around as there should be plenty of stock out there. Some pharmacists are reporting a rise in demand for the vaccine following reports of a super flu and record high hospital admissions. Nicola's been chatting to Amish Patel from Hodgson's Pharmacy in Longfield.
We're certainly seeing a big pickup all of a sudden. We also have a big influx at the start of the season around October time. Then it did die down throughout November. We've come in this morning and our clinic is looking fully booked again this week. So from having no appointments or no one really coming in last week to really super booked this week, people have certainly changed mind with regards to wanting to get the vaccine again.
Yeah, I guess there was an awful lot of news coverage. Anecdotally, have you heard that people have been quite poorly with this super flu? I mean, why is it being called a super flu, I guess? Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, I guess with regards to it being a super flu, it is spreading a lot quicker, a bit like when we saw COVID first come out. More people are getting it than usual, and that's the simplest way I can describe it. And with that, with more people getting it, unfortunately more people are also ending up in hospital. So we're seeing record numbers for the last couple of years at least of people ending up in hospital with flu. So the idea is we want to minimize the number of people going into hospital, and the best advice to that is get vaccinated. Looking at figures around Kent, my own figures of how many people we vaccinated up until this point, we definitely saw a decline in number of people getting vaccinated. So whether that's contributed, as well as the fact we know it's a slightly different strain and it's evolved, on top of the fact that they've also, for the last year and this year, started the flu campaign that little bit later as well. So I'm sure that's also played into things. So I'm hoping that maybe the government will think maybe next year we'll go back to September vaccinations, and it gets people through, you know, the Christmas period when people are mixing, they're seeing family, they're seeing vulnerable people. It's essential people get vaccinated as early as possible.
Yeah, we're just 10 days to go until Christmas. Is it too late to get a vaccine now? What would your advice be?
My advice would be still get vaccinated. We do know that it can take a little bit of time for the vaccine to fully kick in, but some protection is still better than no protection. On top of that, the good old guidance of catch it, bin it, kill it, as the phrase used to be, you know, good hand hygiene. Again, things that we did when we saw the pandemic coming out, where everyone was super clean, maintaining a little bit of social distance sometimes. All those kind of things will be essential in keeping each other safe.
I tried to book a flu jab last year. It got cancelled a couple of times. I thought, I don't understand. I phoned them up and they said, we've literally run out. Have you heard that the flu jab is running out as well?
So speaking to a few of my colleagues, I have seen a few people saying that they're trying to source vaccines and vaccines are a little bit more scarce, but then others have loads of vaccines as well. I know that I ordered based on previous year's usage, and because we saw a lower uptake this year, we've got some left over. So I think it's a bit of a 50-50 hit and mix, but there is vaccines out in there. There are available. The wholesalers do have supply slowly coming through. So my advice would be, you know, if you don't get it from the first pharmacy, you may have to go to a pharmacy that's not your regular pharmacy, but you should still be able to get it with relative ease.
Now, obviously, some people are able to get the flu vaccine for free, but others are choosing to pay for it as well. So has that put extra demand with those of us who want to pay to get a vaccine wanting to come and see you guys at the moment?
We've certainly seen a few extra people coming in looking to pay for it and obtain it that way. I can't say those have been huge numbers. Again, we're seeing less people having got the flu vaccine in the first place this year. So I think it will just normalise out to the same number of people getting vaccinated overall. But again, whether you're paying for it, whether you're eligible for it on the NHS, there is supplies around for all patients. So I wouldn't be too stressed about it. Prices will vary, so it's worth just mentioning that. Some pharmacies will be charging slightly more, and it also depends on the vaccines that they've obtained, because there is a big difference in prices between vaccines as well. So I think people just need to be mindful of that. Sometimes it's not pharmacies trying to make a big profit here. but there is a difference in the vaccines and what they cost the pharmacy as well. So when you're buying it privately, you are taking on that cost of the vaccine.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories. A man arrested on suspicion of murder after a woman's body was found at a flat in Margate will remain on bail until next year. Police were called to a property on Dane Valley Road in September and discovered a woman in her 30s. A suspect has had his bail extended until March. Three people have been in court after drugs, weapons and two stolen caravans were found in Cuxton. Police raided a site near Sundridge Hill and discovered cannabis being grown, knuckle dusters and a sword and firearm. Two men and a woman were charged. They're due back in court in the new year. A Kent police dog handler who tiled her colleague's bathroom while off sick has been allowed to keep her job. PC Molly Proctor was also found to have spent more than 135 hours at home during shifts over a 10-month period, of which around 50 hours couldn't be justified. Following disciplinary proceedings, a panel decided she shouldn't be dismissed, but she was issued with a final written warning. Now, the family of a Kent man left suffering from locked-in syndrome after a stroke believe there's major potential for him to recover further. It's a rare condition that leaves a person conscious but unable to speak or move. Jeff Brown has been paralysed since 2019. His family launched a fundraising campaign which helped them buy a muscle-stimulating bike and a standing frame. The 45-year-old from Deal has been able to regain some mobility and his voice. Lucy Brown is Jeff's sister and is also his personal care assistant. She's been chatting to Megan Shaw from our colleagues at KMTV.
I started working with Jeff in February this year. It's fun. It's the most fun job I've ever had, but the most rewarding job I've ever had as well. Every day, we do sort of the same thing with Jeff every day. I don't do any of his personal care, so I'll come down and we'll do leg exercises, arm exercises, head exercises, eye training, lunch, you know, all of that. And then Lucy, the other carer, she then takes it on into the afternoon because I've got younger children.
A lot of people in Jeff's condition might have wanted to stay perhaps in hospital for longer or to be cared for elsewhere, but Sarah was saying that there was a reason and serious benefits of having Jeff at home.
Oh, definitely.
Can you speak about those for me?
Definitely. Family around him all of the time. Obviously he can basically do what he likes, which he does a lot of the time. A lot of the TV he watches is for him. A lot of what goes on in this house is for Jeff. But mentally as well, I think having Jeff somewhere else to rehabilitate in the last 5 years would not have gone well at all. I think getting him home has actually encouraged him to push and push and push more to be where he is now.
And obviously, as his personal care assistant, the money raised from these GoFundMes will direct not just impact Jeff, but you'll kind of be on the front lines of that, someone that works alongside Jeff. So,
yeah.
So what would this? So you had that GoFundMe before.
Yeah.
You've got a new one now for the new therapy.
Yeah.
What could that entail?
The original GoFundMe was for equipment to help Jeff daily. This GoFundMe is to really push Jeff to get his voice back, get him moving. There is a video that we've got that shows Jeff's progress. And if we can access more rehabilitation for him to be able to really push him and get him where he needs to be, I feel if he could have intense therapy every single day, or at least 3-4 times a week, he can really push himself to where he can actually get back on those motorbikes and can actually... He's got a life now, just not the life that he wants or wishes for. And I think he can access that, he can get it. And I want to help him get that.
You're both his sister and his personal care assistant. Is there any difficulties in that? Or as you said before, is it just kind of... It's just life now.
Yeah, there's a lot of banter every day. Jeff laughs at me a lot. Probably because I do come out with the most stupidest things. I think it helps though. It helps the day. And obviously I have that relationship with Jeff where I can push the boundaries a little bit more than the other Lucy, really.
You can read more about Jeff's story and find out how to donate by clicking on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A fourth outbreak of bird flu has been confirmed in Kent. A 3 kilometre protection zone has been set up following positive tests at a commercial poultry farm in Newington near Sittingbourne. It's the third site within the same area to be affected. Cases have also been recorded at a farm in Lydd. A Kent mum is raising money for treatment in Portugal after being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Annie Diath from Tunbridge Wells initially put her sickness and loss of appetite down to stress when symptoms started in January. The 58-year-old was diagnosed 2 months later and started chemotherapy but now needs surgery. Doctors in the UK won't do it, but a consultant in Lisbon thinks he can. Colleagues at her school are hoping to get £25,000 to support her. It's emerged waste is being transported from as far afield as Scotland and Wales before being illegally dumped in Kent. Organised crime groups are said to be making huge sums of money from disposing rubbish. Kent Police and Crime Commissioner has warned it's damaging wildlife and heritage sites. Speed restrictions and a different layout of lanes is in force on part of the M20 from today. Operation Brock has been put in place overnight to deal with Christmas getaway traffic. It's turned the motorway between Maidstone and Ashford into a contraflow and lorries can be parked up if it's busy at Dover. Toby Howe is from the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum. He's been speaking to Nicola.
So the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum received data from both Eurotunnel and the Port of Dover when there is a holiday period of forecasted bookings. And from that, we can assess what the likely possible impact is going to be on the road network in and around East Kent specifically. This time round, Port of Dover have shown that Friday and Saturday are going to be very busy down at the port. It's a very busy freight time as well, because an awful lot of the HGVs are heading back to Europe as well for Christmas, as well as all the tourists heading over to Europe. So because of that data, it shows that there is light congestion expected in and around Dover Friday and Saturday, and possibly into Thursday as well. So because of that, it was agreed that Brock would be required to hold back freight that would be heading down, because tourist traffic is always prioritised.
Has the day that Christmas falls on this year created any additional pinch points maybe, or affected when those pinch points might be at the Port of Dover?
No, it's usually sort of the weekend or so before Christmas. I think they're expecting it also to be busy. Very often people get away for New Year, so 26th, 27th, but then that's quite a quiet period for freight. So it'll be busy for tourists, but it's the freight and tourist numbers that causes the issues. So at the weekend before.
I'm sure most people in Kent now know exactly what Brock is and how it works. But for those who might be travelling through the county over the next few days, over the Christmas period, just explain how it works for us.
Yes, a lot of people really sort of do not understand why Brock's there, and it just causes a lot of people many issues. But it does serve its purpose. So when we see very busy traffic down in Dover in particular, we try and regulate the flow of traffic that's heading down to there. So if we didn't have Brock, all of the HGVs that have been held each time we put it on recently would continue down the motorway. They would end up queuing out of Dover past Folkestone and very often block the Eurotunnel entrance as well, which would then in turn cause an even bigger queue heading back to Ashford, and it would cause blockage at Ashford, Junction 10, etc., where you've got the hospital. So Brock acts as a filter, so we hold freight in there if it's really busy down towards Dover, and then let that freight go when there's capacity.
And for the rest of us, we just have to drive a little bit slower on the M20, essentially, don't we? So maybe just leave a bit of extra time for a journey, I guess.
That's right, because I do appreciate the problems that people do have that are travelling through there. I used to go through it regularly when it was out, and yes, it is. It's very narrow lanes, so it is quite intimidating to some if you've got an HGV trundling along as well, and then there's the gap with a concrete barrier. So yes, allow space, allow time. It's a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, so yes, it takes a little longer to get through, but just be patient, especially coming up to Christmas. We don't want people to have any crashes or any incidents on them. We want people to be able to get home and enjoy their Christmas.
Just this morning, a lorry broke down within the Contraflow London bound between junctions 8 and 9. Some commuters faced delays of more than 45 minutes and queues stretched back for around 4 miles. Brock should be removed next Monday.
Kent Online News.
It's going to cost more to park in Sandwich and Deal in future. Plans to hike prices by as much as nearly 30% in some areas have been given the go-ahead despite concerns from local traders. Long-stay car parks will increase by £3 from £10.80, while short-stay ones will go up from £1.80 to £2. A popular Maidstone pub has gone on the market for more than £2 million. The owners of the Brenchley in the High Street say they're selling up as they move in a new business direction. The Grade 2 listed building was originally a bank and features a huge glass ceiling dome. Developers have revealed plans to build hundreds of homes on land in Faversham. If approved, 240 properties would be put on the site off Brogdale Road by 2030, with half of the area remaining as a green space. Nearby residents have raised concerns about the impact it would have on the nearby A2. House builders say they'll work with the council on that. We're expecting a decision this week on whether homes can be built on the edge of a village in Medway. A developer wants to put 75 properties on the plot north of Stoke Road in Hoo, with a quarter of the houses classed as affordable. The project has been recommended for approval. It'll be considered by councillors tomorrow.
Kent Online News.
Government funding has been confirmed to help create more places at special needs schools in Kent. It's hoped it'll lead to progress on plans to build 3 new SEND sites in Whitstable, Swanley and Northfleet. But county council bosses will have the final say on exactly how the money will be spent. Dartford MP Jim Dixon is hoping it'll help residents in his area.
SEN and providing decent provision for families who have a family member who requires special educational needs provision is a huge priority in Dartford. When you go down knocking on doors, talking to local people about the issues that are important to them, SEND comes up time and again. And I was pleased to have a meeting in Dartford in the middle of last year to talk about what we need to sort out the SEND crisis. And we hear very good news from the government. We're going to get a white paper to remake that system and make it much more responsive to families and service users. But also we hear there's going to be lots of new money to invest in schools so that SEND provision in mainstream schools can be transformed in a way that parents want to see it made better.
We're told key decisions on the local funding still need to be made. A former adult education centre in Gravesend has sold for £1.5 million at auction. Kent County Council closed the town centre building back in October and moved services elsewhere. It's unclear whether the new owner will use it as a commercial site or turn it into housing. A family behind a festive house near Canterbury say this year may have to be their last because of the amount of traffic it's caused. The light display on Colonel's Lane in Borton under Blean raises money for charity, but has caused congestion in the village. It'll stay in place until January 5th. You can see pictures at Kent Online. A Thanet Youth Club is closer to securing its long-term future after being told it'll receive a huge grant. Pie Factory Music has been campaigning to buy its building in Ramsgate after the County Council announced plans to sell it. A meeting of the town's neighbourhood board has agreed to give them more than £500,000. The CEO of Pie Factory Music, Zoe Karasik, has been speaking to Nicola.
It's just over £500,000, and the grant will come to us, Pie Factory Music, so that we can buy the freehold of the premises and own it outright. And that is a huge milestone in our campaign. It gets us that one big step closer to rescuing this vital community asset from being sold off and being put at risk of being purchased by, you know, who knows who, but quite likely some sort of property developer or housing developer. So, this is a big win for Ramsgate Youth Centre and for what that means for our charity, which is based here.
As you say, lots of hoops to jump through before it's all secured. But what was the reaction when you found out that news?
I had to wait for quite a while the item was discussed at the meeting, and when we got the news that the grant had been approved, I did just crumble a little bit. It's been an exhausting over a year now, because we felt from the outset that this is the right thing for Ramsgate Youth Centre, that, you know, it was built as a youth centre in 1969. The thought of it being lost to a developer and potentially being demolished was just too tragic to consider. So, myself and our team and our board of trustees and our young people have been campaigning so hard to raise awareness about what this site means for our community, for what it means for generations of young people who've come up through Ramsgate. So yeah, I think I just really felt the weight of all of that when the decision was made on Friday.
I can imagine because I mean all the guys that go there and all of your staff, they've done such an amazing job as well, haven't they? We've run stories about the challenges they've been doing to try and raise enough money. I mean, this has been, as you say, a huge effort. They must be equally delighted.
Yeah, I think we're just certainly the team are feeling very relieved. And I'm sure, yeah, I mean, the strength of feeling, not just from the young people, but from our wider community as well, since the news came out on Friday, has been quite overwhelming. I'm still processing a lot of messages and a lot of emails. And the feeling is resoundingly that this is absolutely the right decision for the Pride in Place programme. It's absolutely what the government intends with the policy around it. It's about rescuing community assets that are at risk. And I'll be absolutely thrilled when we finally get this over the line and we've saved Ramsgate Youth Centre and brought it into community ownership, because that really is the ideal outcome.
The cash is from £20 million given to Ramsgate as part of the government's Pride in Place initiative. Three artists say they're preparing to take on the likes of Temu and Shein by opening a new craft shop in New Romney. They've joined forces to set up Made on the Marsh in a former charity shop on the high street. 15% of every sale will be donated to the local community hub to help fund other projects in the area. A map of Ashford inspired by the metro system in Hong Kong has gone on sale in the town. It was created by 12-year-old Chester Chan in a bid to help people understand the geography of the borough. 25 prints have been created for the Made in Ashford shop, with profits shared between the store and the school pupil. And a miniature horse has visited a care home in Maidstone to spread some Christmas cheer. Gertie met residents and staff at Rosewater Place in Langley. She's one of the well-being animals owned by Mini Horse Heroes.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and two Kent sides have landed big home ties in the fourth round of the FA Trophy. Chatham Town will host National League High Flyers Carlisle United, while Ebbs Fleet will take on Forest Green Rovers. Matches will be played on the second weekend of January. The draw has also been made for the fourth round of the Women's FA Cup. Chatham Town will be at home to fellow Tier 4 side York City Ladies. This is the furthest they've ever got in the competition. And in cricket, Ken Zach Crawley will open the batting for England when the third Ashes Test gets underway later. England are 2-0 down in the series. Series play in Adelaide is due to get underway at 11:30 tonight, our time. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can find the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.